is always interesting how the Lord leads in even the choice of the songs. Not whoever made up the chose the songs for today did not know what I was preaching on, but the title is Not to Worry. Did you ever say that to anybody? Not to worry. It's kind of a phrase we use sometimes when we're sure things are going to work out. And so the song we just sang is God Will Take Care of You. Very interesting. It goes right with the message. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He'll take care of you. God will take care of you. He sure will. I always look for sermon illustrations, so my wife promised me this morning. She said, I'm not saying a thing all the way down here, and in before the message, I'm not saying a thing for fear you'll use something that I say. So I'm looking around, and Jay said to me, here's your honorarium, he said, in case I forget. And I said, that's what I need. I needed an illustration. So Jay is my illustration today of forgetfulness, because we often do need reminding, don't we? Over and over again, even though we know that God will take care of us, we need reminding over and over again because we are forgetful. My father-in-law said, it's not that my memory's getting bad. He said, my forgetter's just getting better. That is so true, isn't it? And we need reminding over and over again. The story is told of a widow and a widower who attended their 60th class reunion. They had known each other for a number of years in high school, of course. And at the reunion, there were several other widows and widowers. And so the group kind of sat around talking, but this one widow and widower kind of smiled at each other and kind of Google-eyed at each other and started talking, and one thing led to another, and the widower thought, I'm going to ask her to marry me. And so he popped the question, and she didn't think long at all. She said, of course I'll marry you. The evening went well, and he was delighted, had lived alone for so long. But he got up the next morning, and he's thinking, I know I asked her to marry me, but I can't remember what she said. And so he's thinking, he rehearsed everything the whole evening, what he said and everything, but it just wouldn't come, what she said. And so he thought, I must call her. So he called her and said, listen, my memory's getting bad. It was a wonderful evening. And he's working up to her, and he's saying, I know I asked you the question to marry me, but I can't remember what you said. And she said, oh, silly man. She said, of course I said, yes, I'll marry you. And I meant it with all my heart. And he thought, oh, praise the Lord. And then she continued. She said, I'm so glad you called, because I know I said yes, but I can't remember who it was I said yes to. That should be an interesting marriage, shouldn't it? But we do need reminding over and over again. And I think this is a very familiar text. In fact, there's a lady I visit as a chaplain in hospice, and her mind's gone. She can't remember. I think sometimes she doesn't know her own name, because I ask her at times, how many children do you have? And she says, I know I have children, but I don't know how many, and I don't know their names anymore. I mean, but God bless her. But I ask her favorite verse, and even though she can't remember how many children or their names, she remembers Psalm 46, and she'll quote it to me every time I visit. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So that's where I got the title of the message from, Not to Worry. God says, don't be afraid. I'm a very present help in trouble. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder. Over and over again, we need to be reminded, because we know this truth in our heads. We know that we needn't worry, that you're always there and you will take care of us. But sometimes our hearts worry. Sometimes we catch ourselves wondering what will happen in the future. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder. May we learn it and remember it, not only in our heads, but may we live it out day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, by the way, was is called Luther's Psalm because it is the basis for that song he wrote, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, A Bulwark Never Failing. It was his source of encouragement, not only as a song, but the passage was. Remember, he was a priest in the Catholic Church, and as one of the reformers, they wanted to kill him. He was put in prison, often banished from the country, and so he had a lot to worry about. And he reminded himself through this song with tremendous encouragement that God's truth still abides forever. The reason for the psalm is not really known. We're not told what it is. There's a lot of guesses, and so I picked one of them. I don't know if that's the occasion that it was written for or not, but if you remember, Hezekiah was a young king of Judah in around 700 BC, and he wanted to turn, his father was a pretty wicked king, but Hezekiah wanted to turn the people back to God, and so he started getting rid of idols, and the people became stronger spiritually, but Assyria from the north was taxing them big time, taxing them to death, and so Hezekiah led his people to rebel against Assyria, and they decided to stop paying the tax. Well, Assyria came down with an army, conquering many towns and cities on the way down, and came down to Jerusalem and sent a letter to Hezekiah warning him that they were going to destroy Jerusalem and Judah. And he warned them that the gods of the other towns that they've conquered couldn't save those towns. And remember, back in that time, their thinking was that every land had its own god. And so if a country could conquer another country, it meant their god was bigger than the land that they conquered's god. And so he warned Hezekiah, don't think your god's going to save you, because he didn't save the other towns in your country. But Hezekiah takes the letter that the king of Assyria had sent, and he takes it and lays it before the Lord and prays and says, God, you see the threat against your people. And then he sends a letter to Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah sends a message back saying, not to worry. I'll use my title again. Not to worry, Hezekiah, because God said that Assyria will not enter Jerusalem. They'll not even shoot an arrow against it. And God said that Sennacherib is going to go back to his country and get killed. Well, that was good news. In fact, the next day, the Bible tells us that an angel of God killed 185,000 soldiers. I like the way it said in there, and I never figured that out exactly how that worked, but it says they all woke up dead. That always puzzles me, how you can wake up dead. But that's what the Bible says. The army woke up dead the next morning. But God had given them a tremendous victory. It often, though, reminds us, that story, of the trouble and fear upon God's people. But the tables are often turned. They trusted God. They took the letter before God, and God answered. This psalm is often helpful when believers, when we face fears as well. What fears might people face today? Help me out. Let's list some fears that people have. Phobias, maybe. What fears do people have? An operation, a medical operation coming up. Yeah. Financial. Yeah. I always say about operations, they're always serious when they're on somebody else, or when they're on me. It's minor when it's on other people, but it's serious when it's on me. Yes, financial. Any other worries? Family. Sons, daughters, we pray for. Grandchildren. Yeah, somebody else said something. Okay. How about finding a pastor? Do you worry about that? You say, no, I don't worry about that. I just pray about it. Right. Yeah. You pray, you worry about getting a good one, right? as good as your former pastor. God bless him. I love his Sunday school teaching, brother. It's always fun. It's a refresher course from seminary. It's what my wife said. It feels like a seminary class. She never went to seminary either. I don't know how she knows that. But it is true. But did you ever think about fear? We often think, well, no, you shouldn't be afraid. People say, well, you shouldn't get angry. Are they not God-given? Aren't all of our emotions God-given? Fear, anger, love. All of our emotions are God-given. Can they be used in a wrong way? Sure can. Fear can sometimes keep us from doing what God wants us to do, can't it? If we say, well, love's a good thing. Not if it's not controlled, right? We need to always say that our emotions need to run on the railroad tracks of God's word. When it jumps the track and goes off in a wrong direction, a lot of bad things can happen. But fear is a good thing. When I climb a ladder, fear makes me hold on tight so I don't fall. That emotion of fear is a good thing. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but did you ever hear anybody say, don't punish your children in anger? I've broken that rule multiple times because anger is the energy that God gives me to do what I ought to do. Now, that anger should be controlled. That anger should not cause me to go beyond what the punishment they need. But that anger is the energy. Love. It's much easier to buy flowers for my wife because I love her, because those feelings come up. But should I do it even when the feelings aren't there? Should I do what's right? Sure I should. But our feelings give us energy to do it. The same with fear. Fear is a good thing. But can fear be wrong? Can we worry excessively because we fear? Certainly. And that's what we need to be careful of, that we don't let fear run wild and dominate our lives and incapacitate us, so to speak, to be able to do what we ought to do. And so Psalm 46 is the assurance God gives us. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When those times come when we get afraid, when we get anxious, and then therefore, because that fact is true, that God is a refuge and strength, he said, therefore, a fact now, we will not fear. Will not we fear, I think the King James has it worded. But we ought not to be afraid. So, we should not worry when trouble comes. God says not to worry. How then does this psalm actually help us not to worry? Well, I think by two things, focusing on God's presence and focusing on the plan of God when in trouble. First of all, focusing on the presence of God when in trouble. If God does not keep us from trouble sometimes, we know that. Some of you have gone through trouble and trials times and are in, I have trials and troubles presently in our life. God promises, though, does not always promise to keep us from trouble. Do bad things happen to God's people? Sure they do. If God does not promise to keep us from trouble, what does he promise? Well, that's what this psalm says. Let's look at some of the things that he promises as we go through trouble. For his presence to be there, this is a result of his presence with us. Number one, he says, God is our refuge. It's a place where we can find shelter. There's no complete safe place on earth, is it? There's always natural disasters. There's always family disasters. There's always national disaster. Governments. What's the biggest threat right now, politically or national? Yeah, we all have different ideas, don't we? But nuclear threat, North Korea, Iran, are a tremendous threat nationally. So there is no safe place on earth where we can go and say, I am completely safe. It's really only because God is our refuge. We can't find an earthly place to go to that's perfectly safe. But there is a safety. What do missionaries say? The safest place on earth is wherever God wants me to be, wherever God's will is. Not to obey God's will and thinking that we're going to stay safe is a terrible mistake. Because in God's will is the safest place ever. I put down here, I read it somewhere. It's not original with me. It says, when trouble drives us to refuge in God, it has accomplished its mission. Isn't that true? Trouble should drive us to God, not drive us away. My daddy always said, trouble either makes us bitter or better. We can learn from our troubles and trials. And when we drives us to God, it has accomplished its purpose. But he says, not only our refuge, but our strength. The focus ought to be on God, not on our problems. We need him. He's strong. He will help us. It is God that's keeping us strong through those trials and troubles. Because humanly, we'll fall apart. Humanly, we do not have enough strength. And that's a good thing for us, because humility drives us to our knees in dependence on God, doesn't it? The proud, God says he hates the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Those that realize that we really cannot live this life without God's strength. And that's what he says here. I am your refuge, God says. I am your strength. A very present help in trouble. The help here, idea of present isn't that he's here right now, although that's true. It's more the idea that it's proven, he's been proven, and is exceedingly available. He's like a trusted, something that you trust, that you've used over and over again, and you know it works. How about that favorite recipe you have? You can probably make it without even looking at the recipe card. But when you get a new recipe, what's your fear? You don't know how it's going to turn out, because it's to you, it's not been proven. But that old reliable one, you know that one's going to turn out right. The same is true with our God. We can trust him because he's reliable, he's available, and he's closer than our troubles. His presence is always there. You'll find what you're looking for when you go to God. He's in effect, you know, our presidents have bodyguards, the Secret Service. But how many times do you watch on TV and you don't even see the bodyguards, do you? You don't see the Secret Service around. Sometimes you recognize them because they're you can tell they're alert, they're looking around and watching. But most times in among a crowd when the president's there, you don't even know who they are. They're almost invisible, but they're there. It's like our God, invisible to the naked eye, but yet there. He is a very present help in trouble, available all the time. Intervention, look in verse 5, 6, 8, and 9. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. 8, come behold the works of the Lord. And of course, 11 again is the Lord of hosts is with us. Yeah, and in verse 9, he says, he makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot with fire. Did you know that he can even intervene in wars? If this is the account where Sennacherib, Assyrians, were going to conquer Jerusalem, he intervened, didn't he? He came and intervened, and 185,000 of them, they didn't even have to fight. Our God can intervene in miraculous ways. We sometimes say, well, that was great then. God was God of miracles. He still is today. He still can do miracles in our life. Still things happen that confound doctors, that are out of our... Isn't it nice to look back? I forget who I was talking to. Probably it was Sharon this morning. I was talking to her. And it's nice to look back in our lives and see the hand of God at work day by day. But sometimes we look ahead, and that's what makes us worry, because we're not sure how this is going to work out. You know, these Bible stories that we read are the same way. We know the ending of David and Goliath, don't we? But David didn't. David didn't know the ending. Hezekiah didn't know the ending, how this was all going to work out. We know it all worked out and God took care of the problem. I think that's what makes us worry, because in the Bible we know the ending to the stories, but we don't know the ending to how God's going to work in our life. Or do we? Do we know that our God is always there? Do we know that our God is going to be always with us? And at the end, we know that all things do work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. We do know that up here. Turn back a couple of chapters. Look back in chapter 42. The psalmist writes this in verse 5, 42 verse 5. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" I like that word, disquieted. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O God, my soul is cast down within me." Go to the end of verse 43, chapter 43, verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." We aren't the only ones that have a heart that's disquieted. I like that word. We aren't the only ones that we know it up here, but inside of us we have these feelings like anxiety, like, how's the end going to happen? How's it going to work out? But God does tell us the end, doesn't he? Nothing will happen to us except what God allows. God is still in control. He hasn't forgotten us. He said he's written our names on the palm of his hand. He has us before him. And in Matthew it says, not a sparrow falls out of the sky except our heavenly Father knows it. He says the birds of the field God are taking care of. The grass of the field God takes care of. The birds, it says he feeds them. Oh, we're much greater value to God than those things. God will take care of us. We needn't worry, and yet we do worry. But not only focusing on the presence of God, he's always there, he's available, he is just what we need at the right time. Oh, I forgot that one at the end, didn't I? Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, and God shall help her, and that right early. That's definitely King James, isn't it? That right early. Yeah, he means not before the time, not after the time, but just when you need it. We find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes we look ahead and say, I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle this. Rightly so. We look ahead and say, I never have gone through this before. I don't know how I'm going to feel. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't think I have the strength to do it. Why is that? We're not there yet. When we get there, God says, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to give you the strength when you need it, not ahead of time. That's why we worry sometimes, because I don't feel like I can handle this. Like our brother said, an operation scares us because we don't feel like we can do this. And yet God says, I'll give you the grace to do it when you need it. I'm there right early. I'm right on time, not before time, not after you need it, right on time when you need it. He says, I'm there right early. He's a refuge and strength right when we need it. But not only the presence of God, but the plan of God. Let's look exactly how this works out. I'm going to just jump around a little bit. But I think it is important to say, practically speaking, how can we keep from worrying? How can we... Someone look at us and say, not to worry. I had a funeral for a guy the other day. Oh, it's been a while now. And his children gave testimony. And they said their dad's favorite line was, not to worry. His children would ask him a question and get all excited about something, what was happening. And dad's favorite line was, not to worry. It's all taken care of. Our Heavenly Father says that too, doesn't he? Not to worry. I'll take care of you. But here's how it actually works out as I looked at this. Number one, I think we ought to control fear. Fear can be our enemy. Fear can incapacitate us. But it's based on something. It says in verse 2, therefore will not we fear. We ought not to fear. because of verse 1. That therefore points us back to verse 1 and says, this is why we're not to fear. Because God is our refuge and strength. He'll be there when we need it. Not before, not after, but when we need it, he'll be there. So it's based on that, no matter what happens. Look at the next verses. In verse 2, it says, though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It's interesting that all of the things that we look at as sure and unmovable, unchangeable, he said, if all of those things changed. Actually, I looked at a Hebrew scholar who wrote it this way. He says, so we will not be afraid if the earth should shake, not even if the mountains should fall into the sea, not even if the oceans roar and rage and the hills are violently shaken. So not even if all of that happens, we needn't worry. God still is in control. Won't one day that all happen? The earth will be changed, won't it? God promises that there'll be a new heaven and new earth. But none of that should worry us. I remember one of our church members, when 9/11 happened, they closed all the bridges in New York City because they didn't know what else might happen. And so they closed all the bridges in and out of New York City. Our driver, one of our members is a driver, and he was driving a truck and got stuck. Wouldn't let him get out of New York City. And he was in full view of the Twin Towers. And so he sat there and watched the towers fall. This passage reminds me of that. He called on the phone, called our pastor, and said, is this the end of the world? Because those buildings were the icon, so to speak, of New York City. And the icon of New York City has just fallen. And he said, is this the end of the world? Because it's one thing to watch it on TV, isn't it? We watch movies on TV and we know that's not true. And so when you see things happen on TV, you just don't really get the full authenticity of it. But he was in his truck looking out the window watching the towers fall. And he's been in our church for a long time. Doctorally, he knew that the end of the world wouldn't come until when? After the rapture. The rapture has to happen. He knew that up here. But watching those towers fall, his heart said, this is the end of the world. And God says, not to worry. He says, even though the things that have been secure and stable in your life, not to worry. If they've changed, how many of you have lost a parent who they were the rock of your family? They were, you look to them for stability, for wisdom, and they're gone. And it shook your world. Not to worry, God says. Sure, sadness should be there, but it shouldn't incapacitate us. We shouldn't worry that it keeps us from doing what we ought to do. Because God's plan is to control our fear. First of all, because we know the presence of God is with us, we will not fear. It should not incapacitate us. So we need to control our fear. But secondly, we ought to observe his greatness. See what God has done. In verse 8, it says, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation hath he made in the earth? He maketh wars to cease. And it goes on and describes all of that, just as he did for Hezekiah with the armies that were attacking. He took care of them. God will take care of you. But observe his greatness. When we're worried and anxious, read the stories of the Old Testament and the things our great God did for God's people back then. Read the New Testament and how God worked. Think back in your life how many times you've been worried. By the way, Michael Montengo said 500 years ago, he wrote this, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which has never happened." Where did it happen? In our mind. And that's been proven. They actually surveyed a whole bunch of people and asked them to keep track in their life what they worried about. And then keep track of how many of those things actually ever came to pass that they worried about. Well, only 85% of the things they worried about 85% of the things they worried about never happened. So 85% of those things that they worried about just never came to pass. You and I can probably identify with that. During the night is the most lonely and awful time if we wake up and we think about what could happen. And sometimes we have reason for that. I was rehearsing this morning the dangers our grandchildren get into. A while back, our son Tim, down in Salisbury, Maryland, has a son and a daughter that drive, and they mow grass for customers. And so they were loading up the lawnmower on a trailer, and the littlest one, how old is he? Four? Just turned four. He wanted to go along. Well, they couldn't take him along because they're mowing and wouldn't be able to watch him. Well, he determined he was going to go along. So he crawled in the back of the trailer underneath where they slide the ramps in. They threw the ramps up on top so there was a hole for the ramps to go in. He climbed in there, and they took off. They never knew he was in there. And cars went by blowing their horns and pointing and trying to get them stopped because they saw a child in the trailer, and they didn't know what they were blowing their horns for. I think they eventually stopped and went back and looked and found him back there. So we have a right to worry, don't we? But you know what? God kept him safe. I'd be his daddy to have a good paddling. But anyway, the truth is that the older we get, the more we know of the dangers that could happen, don't we? I mean, when we're young, it's like, we don't know all of those things. We haven't heard of all of the stories that we know by now that crazy things happen. But God says not to worry. The truth is that most of the things, and I think of the last 15%, the survey showed, the last 15%, 79% of that last 15%, it said the things that really did happen, it turned out that they were able to handle them without much trouble. And what they couldn't handle actually were important lessons for them to learn that they probably could not have learned any other way. And so it was the best thing that ever happened to them, that last 15%. And so it was only like 3% they figured out of things that they really necessarily should have thought about or worried about that really came to pass that were tragic. It is interesting that most of the things we worry about, either God takes care of it ahead of time, or things that God will give us the grace to handle when we need it in our life. And so wait for him to speak. Be still, this verse says, be still and know that I am God. Fourth and last one, let him be glorified. Let him be exalted. The last verse says, verse 10, be still. The idea is wait. Be calm before me and know that I am God. Will you and I let God be God in our life? Will we just let him do what God does, and we do our part? And by the way, this is only half the message. I won't have time to preach the rest. It's 10 to 12. There should be another whole message on what is our responsibility when trouble comes. Because there is a responsibility we have. But this morning I'm preaching on God's part, what God promised he would do. But we do have a role in that. One of the roles is to let God be God. Don't try and take God's place. We have enough trouble running our own lives without trying to run the world. I kid with people after we've talked about politics and talked about all the things that could happen. I say, well, now we've solved the problems of the world. Nah. We have enough trouble with really our own little world and just let God run the rest of the world and take care of those things which are really our responsibility. But be calm, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I wonder if you and I, that is a fact. God says, I know the end. I wrote the book of Revelation. I know how this is all going to turn out. It is going to happen just the way I said it's going to happen. Nothing's going to change that. Even though it seems in a turmoil now, God says, I'm going to bring this world to its conclusion that I intended it to be, and I will be honored. I will be glorified. Our part in all of that is to say, will we take a part in that? Will we make sure that in trouble, we don't get blown out of the water, that we will say, okay, my goal should be is to let God be God and to make sure that he is glorified, that others see God at work in my life, that others see I'm becoming more like Christ day by day. That is our responsibility. What is your biggest worry today? I don't know what that might be for you. It might be health. It might be wealth. It might be family, as some of you said. War. Could be other people that are bothering you, persecuting you. Could be a job loss. Could be a marriage. Could be divorce. Loss of a loved one. It could be fear of invasion of another country. Could be being single. Could be facing a test or facing surgery. Fear of school. As children, sometimes that's a terrifying experience. Fear of failure. Many, many things we could name that fears. I don't know what your fear is. But are we focused on God? Are you working the plan of God every day in your life? Or has that fear dominated your life and kept you from doing what God asked you to do? You know, as I prepared this message, I failed. You might think it's crazy. I got up this morning, went out back, and God gave us a wonderful place. We have a house, a two-car garage. The cars sit outside, the junk's in the garage. But we have a beautiful backyard, gardens, flowers, nursery, trees. And then my wife came out this morning and showed me that she loves me. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, you're good. And as she walked back inside, I thought, who's going to take care of this place? I blew my shoulder out a couple of weeks ago, so my arm is practically useless. Who's going to trim the trees? Who's going to blacktop or put that coating on the driveway that we do every year? I can't anymore. And I began running all these things through my mind. Who's going to take care of this place? I'm getting old and feeble. Then I remember, it's like, dummy, I'm preaching a message on not to worry. God took care of our place all along, took care of our lives, and here I am daydreaming and wondering who's going to take care of my stuff. God's a big God. God provided salvation. He provided all we'll ever need. Gave us a home in heaven because his son loved us and died for us. Certainly he'll take care of our little needs we have. And I'm not diminishing your need. God knows. But as we sang, God will take care of you. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this rebuke. And we need this reminder over and over again. What a joy. What a joy to know the promises of your word. To know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You are our refuge and strength. You are always there in time of trouble. Help us to remember that. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for adopting us in your family. Not because we deserve it. Certainly we are unworthy of that. But because you loved us. And you wanted us to be with you in heaven. You saved our souls and gave us eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we love you and serve you until you come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.